how in your mind can they ruin this movie for people to be super pissed off and not deliver?
Two things. One, they overbloat it. And they don't spend enough time giving the character developments needed in the arc.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Oop, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest Podcast. This is Eric. We've got another fun episode planned for you today. We're going to talk about The Eternals. Did that flop? Did it not? We don't know. We'll talk all about it. We're going to talk about some Dexter New Blood, some retro games, and more. So stick with us as we kick off this very new episode. Gentle boys and girls out there, I want to know, for those of you that saw the Eternals movie, in your mind, for our first main quest, did the Eternals flop? Is it too much? Is it too soon? Is it too big? All non-sexual related questions. So, Justin, I would like to start with you. What, in your mind, did the Eternals flop?
So I think that it's an interesting question, and I'm going to pivot to like a mini side quest and bat it back to the both of you. First of all, I didn't see it,
okay.
But did either of you watch it?
No.
No, not yet.
Okay, and I assume that was the answer, and that's the reason why I brought it up. And we all have seen every Marvel movie the moment it comes out, have jumped in our pajamas and drove our little RC cars to the theater and enjoyed the hell out of anything Marvel shoves down our throat. But for the first time, us, amongst many other people, are kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I get where you're going with it. I mean, it took me a while to go see Shang-Chi just because with the whole COVID thing, I got used to watching movies at home.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that played the biggest role is now we got access to, you can watch things at home on Disney Plus Premiere or whatever. And then for some reason, they're like, here's Black Widow, and then you get HBO Max going, here's Dune, and then they're like, Eternals, no. And I was like, well, I don't want to go back to the theater, really. I mean, it's going to take a movie like Star Wars to get me to go back, and the only reason we went and saw Shang-Chi is because I was bored, and our friend Dave was like, you want to go see it? And I was like, all right.
Well, here's...
Eternals was on Disney Premiere Plus, I would have already watched it.
Interesting.
Okay. Here's the thing. With the other Marvel movies, I would typically hear some buzz. And this is a movie that already came out a week ago. And the buzz is kind of like, meh. It was, you know, I expected more. I expected better. I feel like, I think it even got like canceled or banned in certain countries because of some of the subject matter, you know? So it's like, I personally think that it's too big. It's too much. They're trying to basically pull what DC tried to do with just introducing like the Justice League without any context. And with all the actors and the cast and how big the movie seems, I just feel like it's going to be too big, too much all at once. And we're kind of like, what is it? Drinking from the fire hose. And they're trying to cram in like probably a lot of lore and information and character building into such a small amount of time. I mean, I know it's like a 2.5 hour movie, but still, how are you supposed to care about like 12 different characters and their past, their history and their future? And of course, like Jon Snow is just thrown right in the middle there. So,
You bring up an amazing point, and I agree with you. And my thing is, when you look at 2012's Avengers, which can be argued to be amongst the top three MCU movies easily,
mm-hmm.
they spent 4 or 5 years building up to that epic, here's everybody.
Yeah.
With the teases and the pleases and the freckles and the feckles and the little Dingleheimer junctions. But it seems like they're jumping in full force, which I think turned a lot of people off because, like you're saying, that they didn't have a chance to digest what the hell they just saw.
Yeah.
But you guys, you know me, and I'm a spoilerman. I love spoiling, so I know the post-credit scenes.
Oh.
And it seems that you can't have subsequent movies without the Eternals.
Okay. So here's what I would have recommended. I mean, I know there weren't too many movies to do this leading up to this point, like, but introducing a few Eternals here or there, like showing a mid-credit scene or an end-credit scene where like the Eternals pop up, would have helped a little bit in my book of just like, who are these people? So get a little mysterious, like they're there, they know what's going on with Thanos, and they could have done something, but they don't. Whatever the case might have been, I feel like it's just like you just get dropped this giant bomb of like, oh, it's Eternals and here and this, and we're, you know, they could, you know?
That's their whole thing. They're supposed to be in the shadows. And again, none of us really know because we haven't really sat through it to make that judgment if it was bad or not.
But that's exactly my point, is none of us bothered to make that.
It's not bothered. It's, I believe, its biggest flaw, and you can see, I believe Dune was saved because it was on HBO Max. If they just did a theater run, like they did with the Christopher Nolan movie, even though that movie sucked, with everything going on, and now people know, oh, you can sit at home, and it's cheaper, and you don't have to deal with bullshit theaters, and the overpriced popcorn and food and drinks and dirtiness and loud people. And you could sit at home with friends and watch. Even my brother's family, who used to always go to theater, now they're like, we'd rather do it at home in the basement. And I even talked to my older brother, like, have you seen Eternals? He's like, if it was on Disney Plus, absolutely, I'd buy it right now. I firmly believe that most of why a lot of people haven't seen it is due to the fact that it wasn't on Disney Plus.
So who shoulders the burden of that blame then?
Would you have gone to see Black Widow if it was just at the theater? I think we'd be in the same situation we are right now with Eternals.
Here, bombshell for you, I haven't seen Black Widow at all, even though it's still on Disney Plus.
Haven't seen movies in a while. What was the last movie? You haven't really been on a movie kick.
Well, but
we watched Dune the other day.
But here's the buzz, right? So it is getting, like, for me, the Black Widow buzz, where if people were coming out of the theater shouting, like, this is, I'm so happy we waited this long. This movie's fantastic. Eternals is I hope there's 2 and 3 and 4. I'm hearing, like, almost the exact opposite of that. Like, it was just, again, too big, too much. People were confused. It didn't really make sense. It felt like it didn't build to anything worthwhile. I feel like the same with Black Widow. Like, who gives a fuck? She's dead, and this is a movie of in between sometime, and like, why should we care? And the actors were kind of okay, and the action was kind of okay, but like, I feel like it got the same buzz, where Jeff, I think when Shang-Chi came out, all I heard was like awesome things. Like, Shang-Chi's a cool, fresh taste, and it sounded exciting. I will see it. I will probably see it. But here's the thing.
But Shang-Chi did all this, so then he went to theater. Did you see it? No.
I'm waiting for it to come on Disney Plus. As soon as it does.
For it to come on Disney Plus. Yeah.
But I think that's the big thing. I think that the discussion point that we need to make is, why did Disney/Marvel decide to pull the plug on Shang-Chi and the Eternals when the streaming model clearly works?
Because what happened with Black Widow and the lawsuit that was going on with Scarlett Johansson, because they didn't know they were going to do this when they made those movies. And I think the same happened with Shang-Chi, and I think the same happened with Eternals. And this goes back to an episode of a month ago where we talked about why are Marvel movies getting pushed, which I believe strongly is they had to renegotiate shit because Disney did see success in Disney Plus. HBO is killing it. They clearly have no plans on stopping.
No, they do, though. They do. They announced that they're stopping that model.
Oh, God.
Well, that's That's stupid. Because they got it. Their analytics have to show that there's more people rather watch it at home than go to the theater. And we just, and like Eric just said, like, I heard great things about Shang-Chi, but I'll wait for it to come at home. When was the last, did you see Dune? Where'd you see that? You got the choice to see it at the theater or at home. Both of you did. Where did you watch it?
Home.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing with Shang-Chi.
Why did you see it at the theater?
It was Shang-Chi. If it came, if both Shang-Chi and Eternals were out right now in Disney Plus for free, I would choose Shang-Chi. Because,
well, yeah, I'm not saying Eternals is a good movie.
Right, but that was the point I was trying to make, is you hear a lot of positive buzz, you want to go watch it. I don't want to watch Eternals.
Why did you guys go see Dune at the theater if you had the choice to?
Well, I got a movie theater in the basement, so I just...
We all would rather watch it at home if we had the choice. And we'd gladly pay for it.
I mildly disagree with you because I think the theater experience is unbeatable.
When was the last time you went to the theater since they've been open?
2019, so it's been a hot minute for me.
So it must not be that big of a deal because you've had at least a good 6 months where you've been vaccinated, where you've had the choice to go to the theater, but you've chose not to.
But what I did while watching Dune.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, when was the last time you went to the theater?
I would have gone, if I didn't have it in my basement, I would have gone to see Dune in the theater, and I'm definitely, no matter what...
I didn't have it in my basement.
If I'm going to see...
You guys are really having a hard time selling this theater thing.
I love going to the theater. That's the thing. I love the movie theaters.
Why haven't you gone?
Well, I got it in my basement, but other than that, I've... The Matrix, when The Matrix comes out, I am, even if it comes out on HBO Plus or Max, I don't give a shit. I'm going to see that in theaters.
I'm saying it's got to take a really, like a Star Wars or a Matrix, super epic to get you to the theater.
Yeah, I would have gone for Dune, but.
Even like any other, you know, like if a new Captain Marvel came out, I'd rather watch it at, you know, at the house. But if another like Infinity War... I mean, I get it. It's super epic. Then maybe go see it with friends at the theater. But even still, like, if Eric, if you were like, oh, the new Spider-Man's out on Disney premiere, whatever, Justin, Jeff, Dave, like, Tommy, like, come to my house. Let's all watch it together. We can all lay on the floor and couches and stuff. What would we rather do? If you offered that, I think we'd all go to your house.
That's another movie. that's probably the only other movie you could have mentioned that I'm like, I probably will go to the theater for that one too. I kind of forgot Spider-Man. But, yeah, Dune. Let's say Dune, for instance. Yeah, for sure. Everybody come over. Let's watch it in my theater, your parents' theater, Jeff. 100%.
Dune was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all right.
It was the only thing that got to me was the fact that they made it part one without part two even being greenlit. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I felt like a little bit betrayed when it was like part one, knowing that we're going to get a lot of unsolved shit. Like I wish it was its own movie open to close and not so much like a Matrix Reloaded to Revolutions where it's like to be continued. It's like, ah, motherfucker. Like I would have rather waited for both parts to come out and then go back and watched all of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've, like I said, recently watched Dune. Honestly, had never seen David Lynch's original, and I've heard nothing but negativity about it. Even he expressed,
you should just watch it just for the novel.
But he's apologized for it.
it's
something. And I'm not doubting that. I love David Lynch. I love Kyle MacLachlan. My only thing, like to piggyback on Eric's thing, is watch Dune. I was playing on my computer for 75% of the movie, which is the benefit of watching it from your home, is you can have your phone, your computer, you can be working, you can be texting, you can do whatever the hell you want. But I think that when Dune Part 2 and Part 3 comes out, that by all means, revisiting the original that Dennis did will be completely worthwhile. And then you'll say, oh, I get the setup. Mm. And it will all make sense.
Okay, that's fair. And not to pivot too hard back to Eternals, but I got to know now, because we've kind of been talking, like Jeff, you bring up good points about now that everything's at home, like it'd be really tough for them to take it away. If HBO is trying to do that, that would be a big hit. But Marvel, going back to kind of Marvel stuff here, Do you think that Kevin Feige and team are going to learn their lesson? Like, are they, if they keep pumping out these movies that, like, people, you know, they're basically going back and doing, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy thing a lot more often now, right? Like, that was a big risk. Like, that whole group that nobody really knew about outside of, you know, comic book geeks, they spend shit tons of money on and they make it happen, and it turned out to be great. But now I feel like they're just taking those risks on, like, you know, What If and some of these shows that people are maybe kind of watching, kind of not. And now Eternals, where it's like, I don't know, like, I'm sure there's Marvel people out there that like the cinematic universe, but are just dreading going to see Eternals because it's just, like, not their cup of tea. Not saying it's me, but I don't know. Do we think Marvel's going to learn a lesson here, or are they just going to keep pumping it out and say, you know what, just pay us, who gives a fuck?
I don't even think they learned needed to learn a lesson. I mean, the next movies in the docket follow the traditional Marvel thing. We all can't wait for the new Spider-Man. Why? Because it's very Marvel looking. I'm more excited for Thor: Blood and Thunder than I am for Spider-Man. I haven't even seen a trailer for it, but I know, you know, because Taika Waititi or whoever's doing it, his track record is just amazing, and Ragnarok was my favorite movie so far in Marvel. But we all know that. They tried something here, clearly are like, all right, well, we shouldn't do that again. But their whole next lineup, even Hawkeye and stuff, it all is back to the colorful, cosmic, magic, you know, superheroes. It's not going to look very DC, like what I kept saying Eternals looked like a very DC cinematic movie. I think they tried something and clearly people didn't really like it. It doesn't affect too much and they clearly can just move on like it never happened.
So I got a side quest really quick for both of you. Is I know we're all hyped up for Spider-Man No Way Home. Justin, how can Marvel ruin that movie? Because there's so much hype and mystery and excitement around it with all, like, what's going to happen and who's there. How, in your mind, can they ruin this movie for people to be super pissed off and not deliver?
Two things. One, they overbloat it. And they don't spend enough time giving the character developments needed in the arc. They've not confirmed all of the rumors that everybody has accepted as truth with the multiple Spider-Men and the Spider-Verse. And we know we got Doc Ock. We know we've got various other characters that have been confirmed in the trailer. I've been reading some rumors that there's a new trailer drop. It may have happened by the time that our episode drops that confirms some more suspicions. And we had a poster drop on Monday that people just hated. But I would say between that, like, overbloating it, and what they did with the post-credit scenes in Venom, let there be carnage, might not give the payoff that audiences want in the time that they want it. So they leave theaters thinking, well, why the fuck did I watch Venom, Let There Be Carnage? Why did we get what we got there? Sorry, spoiler alerts. And here we are, and, you know, with what we've seen in the Morbius trailer that just came out two weeks ago, like, they're trying to build something, but I think audiences are impatient. Okay. And I think that will be to the detriment of the larger MCU.
But that's also, I mean, Sony, there's weird rights, and they have to break deals with Marvel, and so it's really upsetting that Venom is not in any of the Marvel cinematic universe, and he's stuck in this weird Sony limbo of...
You didn't watch Let There Be Carnage, did you?
No, but I'm sure, but even look what happened with the last Spider-Man. They almost didn't make this one because they couldn't get a deal with Sony. And remember how Tom Holland was, like, almost crying on his Instagram, like... He's like it was terrible.
Please give me more money.
their whole thing could just shatter at any moment if Sony just goes, nah, Nah.
So Jeff, to go back to the side quest, what would you like walking out of the theater? How would you be disappointed in this next Spider-Man movie? Like, what would they have to do to really disappoint you?
And it was all a dream.
Oh God, don't do that. Don't do that.
Or all this crazy stuff happens, and then he makes new friends and new allies, and maybe patches up some stuff with old villains, and then oh no, Strange has to rewind it all right to the back of the beginning, and Peter learned a lesson, and then that was it. That'd be horrible.
And then everybody gets a Merry Christmas right at the end of it. God, I don't want to even say mine. I can't top that. That was a good one. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of what you guys both said, it's just building it up in my mind, disappointment in not getting all those things people are talking about online. And I mean, it's way too much time for it to wait to come out. Like, that's the other thing. We get too much time to sit and think about all this shit, and then we build up this whole movie, and then it's like not going to be perfect in our mind. So fingers crossed that it is. But moving into our brand new segment, pivoting real quick. We're talking about Would You Rather. So all this little alien talk that we had going on with Eternals and I don't know, just I guess the Eternals are aliens, right? Justin, you brought up a great question for this Would You Rather. Would you rather the aliens that make first contact be robotic or organic? And we're talking about visitors to planet Earth. Whenever that happens, maybe it already has. And I'll go first with this one. It was a great question. I feel like organic would be, I would feel safer with organic just because I feel like with organic, you can actually like kill them and find a weakness and make sure that, you know, we somewhat stay, if it's not so peaceful, we're able to like kind of stay in control and outsmart them. I feel like robots, it's just like a hostile takeover and like all it takes is one little hack or one little like tweak of a configuration and they are just like annihilating everybody. Maybe they're sent here for peace and we're like, hey, we're here to keep the peace. Jeff, please do not obstruct justice. And you're like, what? I'm just trying to get a milkshake. And then they just break your arm. You know, what can you do? So I would go organic just for the safety of humanity. I feel like that would be a better first contact for us. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, maybe organic, maybe... that's hard. It depends on what created the AI and why the AI has no other organics around, because they could have zero emotion and just come in and just, you know, wipe everyone out. But same with the organic one. If they have the technology to get here, then we don't really stand a chance at all. So they could be like, eh, we want this planet. So see ya.
Eh.
I think it would suck if both came.
Ooh.
Because clearly, I mean, you could, unless it's you're going like a Star Trek route where like the Vulcans came and they were super peaceful and they like helped jumpstart human history and pretty much all other science fiction, it does not go that way. It goes very badly. It always goes badly.
Yeah.
And the fact that they made it here, and what would we offer them besides nothing, besides our natural resources? I don't really see any of them coming here just like, oh, look, this primitive race of people, let's just say hi. Like they would be like, look at them, they can't even make it to like Mars and inhabit a planet. Like we wouldn't even be on their radar. The only reason we'd be on the radar is like we're a strategic position in some galactic war and they need to use the planet for that. Or they're just taking all of our resources.
We're just an outpost.
Or like the Reapers do in Mass Effect, just use, you know, your biomass to create new Reapers. So in all case scenarios, it's not looking good.
what if they wanted like salty plastic and they just clean up the ocean and it was like a happy ending? You know, and then they leave.
They came all the way to Earth for salty plastic?
Yeah, and then they clean it up out of the ocean, and then we just let them go. And then they're like, all right, thanks, Jeff!
If they can achieve intergalactic travel, I'm pretty sure they can make their own salty plastic.
All right, just an idea. Justin, what about you?
So I'm going to cut the difference between the two of you, and I think you both make great points. But I think if you're talking about like War of the Worlds level... inhabitants coming that you can humanly hack them or give them a cold as they do in Independence Day, which I think is the difference maker between their organic and yet they're mechanical at the same time. That there's something to be said for either or. But I agree with Jeff. If they're coming for resources, they're going to chew us up. It doesn't matter if they're robots or organic. But I feel organics will be easier to destroy, maybe? I don't know. It depends on the mechanics and the dynamics of the creatures. Jeff brings up Mass Effect, which is an excellent point to talk about. But man, oh man.
Man.
Aliens.
I feel like Earth would just be like a shitty outpost. Like in the future of the galaxy, at some point, it's just going to be known for like, oh, that place? Oh, yeah, it's just kind of a trash pile. It's kind of like...
That's... I saw a meme on Twitter earlier today that it was like, Earth is the planet that aliens drive by and close their windows and lock the doors.
God, so they get to down to Earth and they're just like, what the fuck is going on here? I'm so glad that we're not like, you know, stuck on a planet where there's just war going on, like the robots or the organic creatures just come down here just to fight. It's like a neutral playing ground and we're just here like, oh shit, well here it goes again. Let's get in the bunker, kids. Come on. They're back. It's every 25 years.
And yeah, just, it's like, you know. It's like Terminator.
Well, that's a good one. I like that. I mean, I wish, I'm kind of a sucker for those types of movies too. I feel like more are on the way or more are coming out, but you know, I watched Tomorrow War the other week and it was pretty good. I would probably watch it before Eternals, again, but it was one of those where it's like futuristic and you know, what are they doing here? And a little bit of mystery behind it, a little bit of time travel. Yeah, Chris Pratt, Star-Lord's in it. He's basically... All right, Chris Pratt, when is he going to earn his acting stripes? Or has he? I guess I want a side quest onto that one. Like
he's being canceled at the moment. So.
Well, yeah, I forgot. He got canceled this week. So now that he's in the canceled bucket with us, we might as well invite him on the show. Did in any of the movies you guys have seen for Chris, and maybe even Parks and Rec, I'll throw it out there as the TV show, but... Do you guys feel like he's earned his acting stripes? I feel like he just plays the same guy in every movie.
Yeah, outside of Star-Lord, which he's done, you know, he did great in that. He's just, and obviously Andy in Parks and Rec, where he was amazing. He hasn't been in anything that I haven't cared about ever. I mean, Jurassic World was, he was like there. I mean, he was in the movie. It was more about like the park and the dinosaurs. There's no way I'll ever watch The Tomorrow War.
No.
The Passenger or whatever that movie was.
Oh. I can say Tomorrow War is better than Passengers with what's her name? Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Lo.
I guess he was a good voice actor in Lego Movie, but that was he was still channeling his Andy from Parks and Rec.
Well, he's going to be Mario in the Super Mario animation. Did you guys see that?
Oh, stupid.
So maybe he'll earn it there.
Outside of Guardians, and even Guardians, he's pretty generic. I mean, compared to Thor or, you know, Spider-Man or Tony Stark, I mean, he's not even at their level of... I mean, they even brought in Strange after Guardians, and Strange is a more interesting character than Star-Lord.
Yeah. Justin,
I got no issue with him. He's not... Yeah. He hasn't earned, I mean, he's no way even, I mean, compared to Tom Hiddleston as Loki. I mean, he doesn't even come close to those, but he's not earned Owen Wilson. Wow.
What? Wow.
I think we have to start, making wow approvals. Has Chris Pratt earned a wow?
I don't think so. I don't think he has. Justin, have you seen a plethora of Chris Pratt movies to make a judgment call?
Yeah, I think I agree with Jeff overall. I just happen to really, I do like Chris Pratt. I think when you consider his career on Parks and Rec and him supposed to be a one-off character, but earned the audience's respect for what he did, that they brought him back to be a player throughout the series, I think is a testament to his comedic timing. And I think I disagree with with what Jeff's saying, when you have Star-Lord in the larger sequence of when they're fighting Thanos, and when him and Strange team up, and Star-Lord's... Strange is throwing the discs out, and Star-Lord is jumping over them, and then he shoots.
I remember the Strange part where Strange held up against a full Infinity Gauntlet. I don't remember Star-Lord scene at all. I remember Spider-Man, and I totally forgot he was in it.
Yeah, he did. And then he flips
the double fingers at him. It's like, I appreciate, because it to me that shows the level of how great, not Chris Pratt necessarily is, but Star-Lord is as a accomplished fighter with everyone else. If he's got people around him that can like enhance him, he is a worthy adversary. So
you like Star-Lord, not necessarily Chris Pratt.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Apparently I like Star-Lord. I don't mind Chris Pratt. I think he's funny. I thought Passengers he was good in, but I think it was a bad movie.
Okay, I got to ask a stupid speedrun side quest here, which is, out of all the millions of Strange views into the future and all that stuff, how was one of those not Chris Pratt not being a douche knuckle and like trying to punch Thanos while they have him under his sleep thing and they almost have the fucking glove off, and of course he comes too because Chris Pratt's punching him in the face? Like, how was there no other out of the millions and millions is Star-Lord just being like, let me take 5 minutes to think about this, or 5 seconds, and then the glove is off and game over, we win.
There's only one future that it works, and you can't have that future without Star-Lord making that mistake.
That seems odd, though. I feel like if they had the gauntlet, they could have just snapped it right then and there and been done and over with.
And in knowing what the Eternals post-credit scene is, I give MCU multitude of credit in saying and in knowing they know what they're doing, and what you're posing was already thought and answered.
Ugh. Well, Kang probably is a part of it, and Wow was probably a part of it. I don't
know. I got a little side quest, just
all right,
basically Justin, because
okay, fine, really fuckers.
Since that, Eric that isn't really a big gamer,
that was me walking away.
The Guardians of the Galaxy game that just came out from Square Enix that is getting overwhelmingly positive reviews for some reason, even though I saw the trailer at E3 and it looked terrible, and now it's getting 8-9 stars. It's 95% on Google. Like, have you heard about this? Are you going to play it? Because you play as Star-Lord, which you seem to really like. Are you looking into that? Are you?
Yeah, it's
know about it.
Oh, it's been on my radar for months, but based on just how flat the Marvel Avengers game was for me, I have no interest in investing any money in the Guardians game, because I fear that while the gameplay could be fun and the story could be great, I just didn't like the Avengers game, which Spider-Man's supposed to be coming to soon. So
definitely hindered me not even thinking about Guardians, but I mean, it's getting overwhelmingly positive, even on Reddit. It's insane on how completely different of a reception it is from Avengers, which has got me like, well, why is everyone, and a lot of them were on the Avengers site hating the Marvel Avenger game, but then loving this.
I haven't seen the characters or the likeness of the characters. I wonder if that has any play in it, because I know a lot of people were thrown off because they were not expecting Avengers to be the comic book visual characters, as opposed to like, hey, Endgame's coming out and we're releasing an Avengers game, but it has nothing to do with, you know, like the real Avengers from the game. We can't use their likeness or whatever. So is that something to do with it? Because they look and sound more like the Guardians?
Well, the main thing, what I read, why they haven't used the likeness is because they're trying to build like a game franchise, and to try to get everyone, you can't get like Robert Downey Jr. to voice this stuff all the time. You can't, it's a logistical nightmare, and it probably costs them a fortune.
Well, according to Dr. Doolittle, he's got time.
So, I mean, he couldn't even, he didn't even have time to go in the what if. You think he's going to go in all these video game franchises? So that's solely why they did it the way they did it.
I feel like when those games come out so quickly after the other ones, like, I know in the backgrounds the developers are just going into the system and, like, doing a copy-paste, and then they just change all the artwork. So it's basically, like, the same mechanics, the same code, but then they just change some of the artwork to, instead of Avengers, now it's Guardians. Like, I feel like that's how they pump that shit out. Like,
if you've seen Grandma's Boy once, then you understand that apparently that is, Kevin Nealon says so, that's how the video game industry works, and I believe it.
Oh my god, such a good throwback. That's got to be a retro movie for us one week for sure.
Hell yeah.
All right, boys, well, let's move into our next main quiz. So, earlier this week, we got the premiere of Dexter New Blood. I think I know that we've all watched the original series that came out. I think, gosh, it started way back in, what, 2008 or 9 or something like that, a while ago. Lasted like 7 or 8 seasons, and then it kind of took a huge old dump at the end, at least according to most people. And now they're trying to come back and fix some things and make it less of a burn, and they want to, you know, open up some old scars and wounds and try to heal us a little bit. So I'm sure with our schedules, we probably haven't had a chance to see it. But I want to know from you guys, is there a point to this reboot? Like, what was this necessary? Did people ask for it? Justin, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I watched the series when it came out. And maybe about a year or two ago, I rewatched it, hoping that I would react differently to the way that it ends, and I didn't. So my big thing is, in asking, did people ask for this? No, I don't think so. But the way, spoiler alert, if you've not seen the show, the way that they end it with him being alive and well, you can't not have a revival. Like, they set themselves up for this. So did we ask for it? No. Do we deserve it? Maybe.
Okay. Good points. Jeff, what about you? Is this something on your radar? Are you going to wait to hear about it, or are you just going to skip it completely?
I don't care. I mean, that's my biggest thing. I saw the trailer, and I was like, I don't care. I have no intention of watching it, nor do I have time. I mean, good for them. They fucked over everyone in the last season. I got nothing and really have no intention of watching it.
I'm just trying to think, because here's the thing I have with too much time passing by. It's not even like a 50-50 anymore. If we think about, let's say, like Dumb and Dumber 2. I mean, what was that? A 20-year gap between some of these sequels and their original movies, or some of the series that came out and then they try to revive it. I'm to be honest, I'm almost a little bit nervous about The Matrix. It looks awesome and I know I'm gonna love it, but is it just gonna be complete shit and make me just miss the original trilogy and then I'm just gonna feel crummy about the fourth one? Like, why did they go there and do that? So, like, 2013,
did you see
was season 8
real,
right?
Just real quick, did you see the poster that came out for the new Matrix?
Oh no.
Where he's, I think it dropped on Monday or Sunday, the same time that the Spider-Man poster dropped. And essentially, we have John Wick in the Matrix, according to the poster. So, just
that's the other
thing. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, that was the one thing I wish they would have at least held on to, was his baby face. Like, he looks odd without the beard now. Like, if you ever see pictures of him, like, out in the street, like, John Wick was such an impression that now, without, you know, the beard, he looks weird. But that was like Neo the whole way through. And I get it, maybe this is like a version of The Matrix where he has a cool, sick-ass beard and he plays John Wick, whatever. But I totally agree. Yeah, I'm a little bit cautiously optimistic there. But with Dexter, I feel like too much time has passed. I feel like, I you know, if this were coming out, let's say in 2015, 2016, like, guys, but wait, there's more. I feel like it would have been a good time to say, like, all right, we'll forgive you. Like, let's watch it now. But it's like, I don't know how many people out there, like, people just talk about Dexter as a thing of the past. So is it going to come out and be something where people say, like, oh my God, did you see the new Dexter show? And if so, like, is it actually going to go somewhere? Like, if it does well, do you know, Justin, if they're actually going to, like, continue to make more seasons? Or is this just, like, a one-and-done thing and, hey, last hurrah, we wanted to close it out our way now?
So, according to the showrunner and to everything that Showtime has said, it is just a miniseries. Supposed to be a one-and-done. Mm. And I forget the name of the showrunner, has gone on record saying, like, almost apologizing for the way that Dexter ended and saying, guys, you're going to get the ending that you deserve in this mini series. So the first episode came out last Sunday. We have a new episode coming out in a couple of days. Audiences are kind of raving about it. Critics are panning it. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm excited. You know, yes, I mean, I have to subscribe to Showtime to watch the 10 episodes, and here's my money, and it comes out weekly. Knowing that Deborah comes back at some in some function, knowing that John Lithgow is back in some function, is kind of unique, and I think they're going to reinvent the way they tell the story of Dexter, and we'll get, I hope, a really tight finale. So I want to watch it. I've not seen the first episode yet, but I will.
Yeah. For me, it's like, I really, back in that time when it was coming out and the episodes were new and I was kind of binging the first couple seasons that I didn't see beforehand, like, I actually cared about Dexter and the characters, and it really grew on me. I feel like I'm so far removed from it now that it's like, all right, in the course of one episode or two episodes, am I even going to care about Dexter again? You know, and the fact that, my guess is probably going to be like a slow crawl, like, you know, hey, he's up in the woods and he starts kind of slowly but surely, you know, the bug is itching or something, whatever we want to call it, where he feels like he needs to kill again. And all of a sudden, oh, he's back.
The dark passenger.
I even forgot the fuck his name was. And like, will his dad be a part of it? You know, like, what's his name? Harry. So I don't know. It's kind of one of those shows that I really felt good about for a long time. And then it's kind of like Game of Thrones. It's like it took a big dump at the end. So how are they going to win our trust back? And I guess putting together a really well-written show that people care about and, you know, is entertaining is one way of doing it. But it's like same with Game of Thrones. Like, now they're trying to go with a prequel. I know it's not an extension of the original 8 seasons, but like, now they're trying to make people care again about Game of Thrones when you dump the bed so bad.
I'm not going to watch that.
Right.
Right.
It's odd because it's high fantasy. It's everything
right.
I love.
And
because I have zero trust in them at all, and I'm not going to invest all this time and then to shit on us again.
Yeah. And let's be honest, if they would have ended the show or maybe taken a couple extra seasons to really close everything out neatly and like the way that most people thought it was going to end, as opposed to like, oh, we're going to lead this the whole way to be somebody else is going to kill the Night King. And then, oops, it's somebody else. Gotcha. You know, I feel like if they would have done everybody a service and done a great job, that I would be over the moon excited about this new whatever it is, the prequel that's coming out, House of Dragons. Like, I'd probably be all over it. I'd be looking at theory boards. I'd be looking at Reddit. But I saw the teaser and I'm like, I could give two shits about it. Like, they betrayed me, and I feel like Dexter did the same. So it's going to be hard to earn that trust back. So Justin, you might be able to convince us.
Yeah. I'll keep you guys posted. Again, have not seen an episode yet. Saw the trailer, thought it looked interesting. I'm not saying it looked good or great.
It's kind of like, what was it? Like the Breaking Bad movie. Right? Like
El Camino.
Like with Jesse, I watched it. It sucked. I hated it. And
it
didn't
so
do
boring.
Anything to me for like, it just made me miss Breaking Bad. I'm like, why did they need to do this?
Nobody well, did you see this. What Vince Gilligan, I think it was a week or two ago, confirmed that there is a Jesse Pinkman prequel in the works.
Oh God.
No. So now you've got that to digest.
I mean, Better Call Saul is probably one of the best prequels ever created.
Agreed.
And because Saul is such an interesting character, even when he was just a side supporting character, he was more interesting than Jesse Pinkman. No offense to Jesse Pinkman, but I don't I'm super excited for the next season of Better Call Saul. I could give two shits about a Jesse Pinkman.
And I think you're right. Like, some those good shows where there's like that sub-genre, that kind of underground world, almost like John Wick. Like, I know they're trying to make a John Wick TV series, and if they do it right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a chance because right. Keanu's attached to it. So.
And it could be good. Like, if they find that kind of subset of characters that are interesting enough and it kind of builds the world even further and doesn't really harm the original series, like, that's a great move. Like, I watched two seasons of Better Call Saul. I got to go back and finish the rest, but I love the first two seasons. I love what they did with it, and I was so concerned that they were going to try to be like Breaking Bad that they just ruined it for me, but they didn't. So, hats
the
off.
Callbacks between the two are just phenomenal. Like, they know what they're doing in Better Call Saul. It's,
yeah. Well,
it's fun.
Hats off to the
shows in Better Call Saul are better than Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's how much I like it.
Ooh. I love Breaking Bad. Nothing can beat it. Do you guys have, like, I know we talked about this a long, long time ago. Like, yeah, just like a series that just was your top favorite of all time. The first thing that comes to mind, Jeff, was it Sopranos for you? Or is there another one?
Oh, God.
Because, like,
what? Game of Thrones. And it really was.
Four seasons.
And then it just dropped. I mean, it's still upsetting to talk about.
to me, it's Breaking Bad all day. Like, that was my favorite TV series ever. I still love it. I will still go back and watch it. It could even be a comedy. Like, Justin, I know you guys have seen The Office probably, what, like 200 times now?
Oh, easily.
So many. Now they got the extended versions on
Peacock.
The worst app ever. But the extended version, I've been watching those because I'm like, well, it's getting close to winter, so it's time to just hop back in the office again.
You can't go wrong. It's so good. Justin, is that your favorite, or is there another one that you had in mind?
No, for me, it's Mad Men. Mm. I can watch that. I can finish it and restart it over again. I love the music. I love the acting. I love the ambiance. I love the story. I love everything about it. My only gripe is the way that they end the series open-ended for Don Draper, where they can do a follow-up mini-series on where he is in late 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe as an old man, maybe they focus on Sally. There's not a definitive ending. He just, the smile.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, but I think Don Draper has more to tell.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like more often than not, because we're talking about Dexter now and Game of Thrones and some of these other ones, like, I love a definitive ending. It makes me, like, sad that the series is over and it's like, wow, there is no going back. Game of Thrones obviously was, like, a sad because I'm so pissed off that I just wasted all that time. But, like Breaking Bad for me, even though they tried to go with El Camino aside, like, they kind of had a definitive ending to Breaking Bad, and I just loved every second of it, and I felt like nobody touch it, everybody stay away, just leave it as is and put it in a frame in a museum somewhere and leave.
Yeah. Sopranos, same thing. Whether you agree with the way that they did it, it's done.
Yep.
There really can't be a sequel to it.
Leading up to the end was still just a fantastic show. It never really
I love the ending to Sopranos.
If you liked the ending or you didn't, everything up till that ending was amazing.
Agreed. Yeah. I think Boardwalk Empire did equally as amazing.
Better as it went on.
Oh my God,
Peaky
I love
Blinders
that show.
Has held strong the entire time.
Peaky for me is just each season was kind of like more of the same. Like, it was kind of like,
yeah, it follows a formula.
It was cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, I like the kind of underground scene and like the bar and the territory and like, but it was always like, hey, a new bad guy comes to town. They tussle, there's some bullshit going on, and then the good guys win.
And then they get back up.
And then we're like, back in the bar.
It literally turns into an anime at some point. It's like Dragon Ball Z. Goku gets beat, he gets beaten down, blah, blah. Then he comes back and beats everyone, they win the day.
Yeah, it's the monster of the week formula.
Yeah. I mean, I love, like, Cillian Murphy is probably one of my favorite actors of all time. So I can't not like the show just because he's in it. I'm so happy.
Damn good, man. I mean, he's good in everything he's in.
Well, there's some new Nolan movie coming out soon, it's in development that they just locked in a ton of actors and actresses. I don't know if you guys, I think it's Oppenheimer. Got a lot of
makeup to do after that last movie.
Well, Tenet. yeah, of course.
I mean, his track record's been great. You're allowed to have one bad movie. It's no big deal.
Yeah, as long as you're not like
amazing movies and some shitty movies. So
you can't be like M. Night, where you've got a lot of shitty movies and one amazing movie.
The opposite. M. Night Shyamalan.
It's going to be something that is, exciting. Hopefully. We'll see.
I would love to see Nolan do like a Lovecraftian horror type movie with his grand epic scale.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the way he brings music into it and the tension. Like, look at Interstellar. Like, you do something like Call of Cthulhu or something. I mean, he could make something pretty fucking epic.
Yeah. Hopefully this, because
there's
doesn't
been
have...
no real good Lovecraft type movies or horror. I mean, it comes in. I mean, there's a lot in Marvel and gaming and stuff like that that pull from it. But nothing like truly.
Well, you know what?
Like Dune or something.
There was a show, and I don't know if this is literally just a coincidence that it's titled this, but Lovecraft Country on HBO with. Gosh, what's his name? He's been in a lot of movies lately. Or Jonathan Majors is in it. Yeah, that's who it was. Jonathan Majors, Kang the Conqueror. It looked pretty cool. It was like, I don't know, 6 or 8 episode series on HBO. I think it's something I'm going to watch here in the winter. But I don't know if it says Lovecraft Country just because, or if it has something to do with that. But yeah, for you,
it's
might be something up your.
There is Lovecraftian horror in it. I believe so. And it's all set in Chicago, too, which is kind of cool.
Well, everybody go check that shit out. But we got time to hit our last segment of the day.
Let's-a-go.
Let's-a-go indeed. This week, we're talking about a retro game, a little game called Earthworm Jim. Where the fuck did this game come from? Whose mind was it from? But everybody out there listening, I'm sure you know what we're talking about. This is the 1994 Run and Gun on the Sega Genesis. It was also out in Super Nintendo. But Earthworm Jim, I mean, it was one of those kind of staple classics of Sega and the Super Nintendo. Very violent. Very odd. Why is he a worm? Why is he killing people? Why does it look like there's mountains with like crossroad signs on them and things of that nature?
It doesn't matter. It's awesome.
It doesn't matter is the point. Yes, it is. It is great. I'll give you a quick plot and then we'll definitely talk some memories here, but he's a regular earthworm. He's got a special super suit. It falls from the sky. just imagine the pitch meeting. It's like 1992 before development. So here's a worm. He's got a super suit. It falls from the sky, allows him to operate like a human. But he's got a worm body, and his head is acting like a body. But yeah, he wants the suit back, so that's the bad guy. And they're just like sitting there, yes, let's go for it. Let's make it happen. Here's all the money. And Justin, you pick up the game and start playing and think, wow, ..
Yeah, wow. I like the atmosphere. I remember the commercials were wild building up to this movie coming out. And it was almost like Toe Jam and Earl level like marketing that they did, which I think came out in like 93. But just it was this like weird game that was effing awesome and had an obsession with cows that I was all about.
Yeah, I like
this
that.
This is an earthworm as big as a cow.
Yeah, that'd be nuts. Jeff, did you? I know you guys had this game for sure.
Yeah, we had. I mean, it's just the '90s all wrapped up into one little Sega game. It's just from the artwork to the style to the. It's like watching MTV and playing a game.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's just got that absurdity to it. Yeah, I played it a lot. I was very bad at it because we were very young when it came out. So we were not good video gamers then, but it looked cool. And we, you know, we just kept playing the first three levels because that's all we could really get through. But I'd love to revisit it at some point. I know what Sega came out, or they're coming out with their little emulator. And I believe Earthworm Jim was supposed to be updated onto it. I'm not sure, but I think Dave has it, which he's never shared with us or brought to any events, which is kind of sad. But I believe it's on there. So no, it's just, it's, it was just a great, weird 90s game.
Yeah. And
there were so many games like this, but this one just
did it. Stands really out. Well.
There was like Rayman. There was a bunch of other weird shit.
Yeah.
That came out in the 90s. Booger Man. I mean, just a bunch of weird
comics. Codes.
Yeah. I mean, there was a weird, you know, there was that Vector Man. Remember, he was like all green.
Oh, jeez.
Dolphin. I mean, there's just some weird shit that came out then, which is great and it's awesome. You know, I think the Final Fantasy VII came out around then too, right, Justin? I'm not
97.
Yeah, so 90s were just great for weird games. What was that one? Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, those were good ones. And also,
here, Eric, explain Toe Jam and Earl.
I have no clue. We just bounced on different planets and we were jumping in the air and we got like moon boots and then you die. And then, yeah.
Shit. 7-Up had a game for Cool Spot.
Oh, yeah. And the
Cheeto had a side scrolling game for Cheetos.
And I feel like most of those games were like, yeah, shoot 'em ups and things like that. But everything was like rated E for everyone. Like back in the 90s, nobody gave a fuck. Like, if a worm had a machine gun. Nowadays, you try to release Earthworm Jim, it's like, let's make sure it's rated M for mature. Like, this is, yeah, and there's going to be.
Are you going to get canceled? The worm.
Well, I'm going to identify as a worm.
Identify as a whatever.
But, jeez. But the 90s, we salute you. Thanks so much for giving us that game, whoever it was. Thank you. His name is Doug Tenanape. So thank you, Doug Tenapel.
And since we're talking about the 90s, thanks again, Pauly Shore, big time listener of the show.
Thanks, Pauly.
You know, our boy, always a shout out to you.
Always a good shout out to Pauly. Well, folks, we got some homework to do, or let's say you do. Make sure you go out to our stuff, like, subscribe it, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, give us some 5 stars if you like it, or we're big boys. Give us 1 star and tell Jeff why you don't enjoy it. He reads all the comments every night before bed, so let's make sure we give him a good little bedtime story. Go out to our YouTube, check out the latest videos. We're going to get some new content out there, not just the podcast recordings, but we're going to try to get some fun videos up there. And, yeah, boys, how shall we end it today?
Well, last time I had to do my weird Tom Hanks.
How about Justin does his best Toe Jam and Earl killing Chester Cheeto.
Okay. Well, look over there. We've got a Cheeto. Kapow! You're dead, motherfucker.
Whoa. Did we mention the show's rated R?